This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It has been life-changing, the hurricane, for so many people already in the great state of Florida. Joe Biden, our president, approves the Florida Disaster Declaration. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has done a fabulous job of doing preventative work, reaching out to people, and doing what so many governors before him have done so well. Florida was really prepared, but you can never, ever, ever let down your guard when you're the people in the middle of it. Some people didn't evacuate it. The areas that were hit, did it cost them their lives? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, it's really tough to watch some of this as I am in the middle of it in Orlando and seeing the flooding and the heavy rain and the winds. And I talked about it in the first hour of the show. Just my little slice of walking outside and being blown back with 50, 60 mile an hour winds was really something. I mean, and that's weakening 65 mile an hour winds. You see these reporters on the Weather Channel where it's 150 miles an hour when it first came across in Fort Myers, for example. I have no idea how they stood up through that. But anyway, the winds have weakened, so that's the good news, and it's been downgraded to a tropical storm. It's going over central Florida, coming out by the time you're listening to this, and feared to be heading back to South Carolina once it exits through the Atlantic. It did make landfall on the West Coast on Wednesday. It was a powerful Cat 4 hurricane, almost, in fact, a 5, just a few miles an hour from being a Cat 5. The good news is the power has been restored to over 500,000 customers. There's going to be some prolonged outages in some areas, so that's not great. This has been a life-changing storm, as the sheriff in Lee County said, a place that I visited, which is right there in Fort Myers, and actually spoke to some business people there, and I can't just imagine what that is like, but it was unpredictable. And tracking the storm, who knew where it would hit? So it hit in a part of Florida that they didn't think they were going to get hit this time. They didn't know where the direct hit was coming in, and it came in. It was strong, and it was slow moving, and that's the other part of it. So people were crushed in the area. People are trapped. They got thousands of 911 calls that they're now responding to. They couldn't access them. You couldn't put first responders in a situation where they can't even get through. So that was part of the problem. One confirmed death. It was a 72-year-old man who went outside to drain his pool. He was swept away, and he was found dead in a canal behind the house. I mean, you know, these are the things that when they tell you it's dangerous, when they tell you make plans, you know, it's tough to see that, because you get hurricane weary, I think, especially people who have been here for a long time and they hear about the big ones. It's in a different way. It reminds me of earthquakes in California, which are less frequent, of course, because you always have a hurricane season. But it slammed into Florida. It was a monster storm. And so, of course, it's a major disaster declaration for Florida. Charlotte, Collier, DeSoto, Hardy, Hillsborough, Lee, Manatee, Pinellas, which is that Pinellas area, that Tampa Bay, St. Pete area, which is where my family is, Sarasota counties, all of that. So they're granting temporary housing, of course, assistance, home repairs, low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses, other programs to help people. I mean, this is what you do in a disaster. And in this country, we've seen how people pull together. Flooding has hit parts of the Orlando area where I am. Flooding is scary and a problem. It's also in Seminole. It's also in Osceola and some other counties. That's the thing. The water, you know, run from the water. So damage in those places will be assessed, but it's the people where it was a Cat 4, almost 5, where it entered, I think, that I so worry about. I worry about the flash flooding because we know that this is a problem in other situations. We saw this in Kentucky, and, you know, getting hit with a foot of rain is what's going to cause that for a lot of people. So, of course, there there are dangerous situations. There are low water crossings, creeks and streams and urban areas and highways and streets and underpasses. And this is what happened. 16 inches of rain within 24 hours, 9 in 6 hours. You know, for Orlando, a 1,000-year flood event. That's what it was. So we evacuated to Orlando, and that's what Orlando is going through. It's that eeny, meeny, miny, moe of where do you go and where is it going to hit and, you know, what's ultimately what's going to happen. So we'll be talking about Ian, I think, for a long time to come. How many people ultimately will have died from this, we don't know. I listened to what one sheriff said, the Lee County sheriff, talking about hundreds were feared dead because of all the calls that they got. They have no way to know. They're piecing all of that together now at this point for the next couple of days. And that's what it's going to be like, to be sure, because now it's about the cleanup. Now it's about going in. Now it's about the power in some areas and finding who survived and doing what you can to help them. This is also sometimes where it's the most dangerous, another dangerous part of a hurricane. We saw this in Katrina. We've seen this in Hurricane Andrew years and years ago, and Charlie, which hit Florida too, and some of you have experienced hurricanes, you know, or tornadoes even, when you go back into an area and there are power lines down, you don't realize there's something else going on, things are blocked, and you can't get there, and you try, and you do, and then sometimes people make costly decisions that cost them, in fact, their lives. So now what also will Hurricane Ian mean when it comes to gas prices, when it comes to food? Somebody asked me this. I had this conversation on an elevator today. It means it's going to go higher. There's going to be more gas strains. You know, when you have a weather event like that, it sends the essentials into a higher category. And that Cat 4 hurricane that hit at 150 miles per hour is a game changer. So we don't want to see rising prices. And even the president warned about that. He was speaking at an event on Wednesday in D.C. and warned about the prices and gouging and all of that. So I don't know that. I think we will see it creep up a little bit because it was already creeping up in that area. But the path of the storm averted some of the good or the key oil-producing states like Texas and Louisiana. That's where it really gets us. So it shouldn't be widespread. And the other part is Florida isn't a big producer of food, except for they're definitely the top exporter. Florida is definitely the top exporter of citrus food, so oranges, grapefruits, all of that. So there could be a price hike there. That's what I would think, and that's the first thing I thought. That's where you're going to feel that. But other than that, it shouldn't be. I mean, I guess it's a matter of where you live. But Florida is not a big energy-producing state. Like I said, Texas, thank goodness, and Louisiana are. That's why when things happen there, we see the effects of when we've seen hurricanes that hit our friends in Louisiana and in the Gulf Coast region, the impact that ultimately has on, you know, so many of us. So pray for the people in Florida. Send good thoughts in the direction of Florida. It's going to be really a rough couple of weeks, I think, picking up the pace and the pieces from Hurricane Ian. All right, coming up next, we check in with all of you when we head to the mailbag.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks for everybody who sent me their well wishes, thoughts, wondering how I was doing, how my family was faring, what was happening during Hurricane Ian. And, of course, the answer is pulling together, weathering it, great neighbors, all of that. Not in the area that was hit dramatically that I've been talking about. And that is the Fort Myers area, Naples, Venice, Bonita Beach. This is the Gulf Coast area on the West Coast, a couple of hours, like an hour and 15 minutes or so from where my family's located. That's the good news there, but also the sad news is I have friends, longtime friends in that area, and haven't even spoken to some of them. They've reached out, and I'm just hoping and praying that they're okay. So thank you for all those good thoughts. A good reminder here at the top, the mailbag is always full. You can always reach out to me 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. This one is from Brad. Hey, Kate, I email the show when I can. I listen to the show when I can. I have a weird, wonky schedule. I'm a lineman, so it just depends on what's happening. And I have to just extend my thoughts to you and all the people in Florida for what you're going through with the hurricane. You know, I think tornadoes are terrible. I've heard you talk about tornado experiences. But I think the hurricane is equally as scary, and the fact that it happens, you always have a hurricane season, I think is the thing that can be so scary, because it's just what you watch for and plan that it could happen. And I feel for that, not knowing where it's going to enter, even as good as the weather people are, and eventually where it's pinpointed maybe 6 hours before, it's pretty tough for some people to scramble. It's almost like you should evacuate, and so what if you have to evacuate and not and then come back into an area? I guess it's a tough decision for families to make. Brad, thanks for that, and thanks for reaching out when you can and listening to the show when you can. I think it's a tough decision because it depends on economics, right? What do you do for a living? What means do you have? Can you disappear somewhere in a hotel for 2 weeks or a week or whatever? Can you afford to just vacate your area? And the answer is a lot of people can't do that. And also a lot of people don't want to do that for fear. And you know what the fear is, right? The fear is getting back in. What if, okay, you're okay and there's some damage and whatnot and you want to start dealing with it, but you can't get back into your area. So now how many days do you have to wait for that, and what is the cost to you? I'll give you an example, and this is what's happened to people, because of course this is the happiest place on earth, right? Disney World and Universal. I met a couple just earlier in the day, and I was a young couple, and I was talking to them, and they said, "Oh, we can't wait to get home." And I said, "Oh, is the power out? Are you in that Manatee County? Are you down there by Fort Myers?" And they looked at me and they said, "No, we live in Colorado. We couldn't fly out because the flights were canceled, so we couldn't even get a flight until Sunday." So thousands of people lost flights on Wednesday and Thursday. They're backed up. They have to rebook, and then this is what happened. Whether it's through Tampa, Orlando, or any of the other airports that had to shut down for days, that has an effect on the people who just happen to come to the parks that are so popular and a big destination for so many people around the country. They just happen to pick a time where the weather was great until it wasn't, until you had the hurricane, and it is hurricane season, but who's thinking about that? And that it happened to ground those flights. All right, let's move on to another one as I'm going down a rabbit hole here. This one is from Harris, and Harris says, "Kate, I want to say something about the hurricane, but there's some other things to talk about, so I think I'm going to go in that direction, if you don't mind. Again, thoughts and prayers for all the people caught up in what's happening in Florida. So my question is, what's going to happen with the situation with the mobilization that's blowing up in the face of Putin in Russia? I'm concerned about his possibly going nuclear on all of us." You know what, Harris, that's a great concern, because there's those veiled and unveiled threats about that. And I think that Putin overplayed his hand on Ukraine, figuring we're going to go in there. This is part of my legacy. This is part of land grab. This is what I want to do. I want to annex more land back again to Russia. So I'm going to go in. This is going to be fairly painless. I really believe that. I imagine being a fly on the wall and listening to those initial stages of what was happening. And then that didn't happen. And so many people around the world outraged, but the precarious nature of what do you do, how far involved can you get with this, meaning like the United States or European allies, before the blowback is something we all pay the price for, the entire population. And that threat is, to me, very scary, right? It's very scary to think that the so-called push the button and that's it is hanging over our heads, because that threat has come up again. And that's part of the mobilization thing. I think thinking that I can mobilize these troops, I can get them back in there, they can start taking over more of these areas again, because we need more Russian troops, and they're fleeing. Not everyone, but of the amount of soldiers that he hoped to get, so many, a big portion of them, we don't know the exact numbers, but are running to Finland or running to borders or trying to escape. They don't want to serve. They don't want to do it. They don't want to be part of going to the Ukraine and doing the atrocious things that have been done to some of the people there and some of the soldiers there at the hands of Russia. This is absolutely precarious. It is the number one, I think the number one, one of the number one threats to the United States and to our allies and to the world, frankly. And nothing is at this point stopping him except for the will of Ukraine and how he underestimated them, and what's happening with Zelensky and how incredible he's been in stopping the efforts in so many areas in Russia. But then look at Russia then annexes. Okay, we're going to annex where we are right now. We're going to claim this. And maybe that's the strategy. We're going to claim these four areas or some of these places in the east and some of these places in the south of Ukraine. And that's it. So then I can figure out a way to move, because how is he going to move out of this? Again, number one threat. All right, this one's from Duncan. I love all these new people. That's why I'm going to them. Of course, everybody that emails, the usuals, you know that. But Duncan says, Kate, wow, I woke up and I saw that my man Coolio had died, and I don't know about you, but you got to think about Gangster Paradise, and I bet you, knowing where you grew up, I bet you're familiar with that song, you're familiar with his impact on sort of the hip-hop rap world. I can't talk today. Of course I'm aware of his impact. I am a lover of music in general. I'm a lover of anyone who has talent in areas, even areas maybe I don't care for. I love that song, Gangster Paradise, though. Absolutely. He's dead at the age of 59. They went in and tried to resuscitate him, called to the scene. I think I said this at the top, and there'll be more details on that. But, yeah. And I love the tributes that are pouring out. You know, the music community is a tight one, and he was one of those people that he was well liked. I mean, you know that, because so many times I would read something in Rolling Stone or some other music mag, or hear an interview with somebody, some other musician from a completely different genre of music, by the way, including country, and they would throw a shout out to him. And Coolio had to fight through poverty, drug addiction, and he became one of the most successful rappers of the 1990s. What You Gonna Do, You're Gonna Miss Me, huge, absolutely huge. And again, warding off the drug addiction and all of that, and you know, 59 years old, died Wednesday at a friend's house in Los Angeles. He basically went to the restroom, they say, and he never came out, sadly. So, cause of death, we could speculate, but we'll know more, I think, in the next day or two. Just a tragedy when you think of his impact. But he had an impact on on the music world, and there were terrible things about him too. I think part of that is his relationships. He had six kids with four different women, and so what to that, but that he was charged with battery for punching a girlfriend, and he tried to overcome that, but he still had the good guy label, because he then would admit to things and he tried to make up for some of them, and then he gave back to the rap world. But there you have it. It's the complicated life of Coolio. So thanks for that question, actually. If you want to send me your thoughts, you always can do it, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Some great authors coming your way next.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marussia reporting. Lawyers for former President Donald Trump are resisting a federal judge's instruction to submit a sworn declaration on whether they believe the government's list of property taken from Trump's Florida estate is accurate. According to a letter publicly filed by Trump's lawyers on Wednesday, the former president's legal team told senior U.S. Judge Raymond Deary that they don't believe Deary has the authority to require them to make such a filing. An election worker in a western Michigan town has been charged with two felonies after allegedly inserting a flash drive into a computer containing confidential voter registration data during an election in August. At the August 2nd primary, an election worker was seen inserting a USB drive into the computer used to administer the election at a precinct in Gaines Township in Kent County. That's according to a statement by County Clerk Lisa Lyons. This is USA Radio News.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
To the show have thought about writing your memoirs, putting it together, telling the stories, the adventures, the ups and downs, what, you know, your life has been like, and leaving that for your family and then even beyond your family. So I'm going to introduce you to a woman who's in our virtual green room right now in this version of Author's Corner named Ruth Claxton, and she's written that. She's done that. The Early Years, a Memoir. So Ruth, first of all, congratulations on actually doing more than talking and putting it down so you could preserve that for the family and for others to see what an interesting, rich life that you certainly have led. And thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate, for inviting me.
So tell me about that process of putting that together. You know, you have bits and pieces and stories. Did you have journals? Did you have things written down? How did you pull from your life?
I did, but Kate, first I want to say that the book is written under my pen name, and that's Rachel G. Carrington.
Yep. Okay, so that's good. So when people look it up, remember that, look up Rachel Carrington. And
Rachel G., you must put the middle initial in there. There is another author by the same
You have the same problem as me. You have the popular names. So there's a lot of Kate Delaney's. So I understand totally. So we'll remind people of that again. But so how did you do that? How did you collect those stories?
Well, I kept journals for even starting with my high school years. I kept journals of day-to-day activities. But in 1989, a major flood in Ohio just wiped my journals out. They were stored in my basement. My house was flooded, and I couldn't. I had to throw them away. I couldn't even get the pages apart to read them once they dried. So anyway, I had to work from memory, but I was really surprised at how just one memory would key another one so fast that I kept two screens on my computer going, one for notes and one for the manuscript as I was writing it. So, and it was a pleasure to bring all that memory back. It's something that I needed to do years before I did it.
I love that you said that it was a pleasure to do that. Give us one of your memories, one of your fondest memories.
Well, I guess my fondest memory was meeting the man who became my husband, and I met him as he returned from World War II. He was in the Navy. I met him, and he'd come home to a family, a marriage that didn't work, that had fallen apart while he was away. And I met him, and during that time, a divorced man was a no-no as far as my parents and most older people felt. But I knew, somehow I knew from the very beginning that he was the man for me, and 62 years of marriage proved it.
Yeah, wow, 62 years of marriage. And when you started off, you know, you started off, and you talked to me off the air, and you said, we start off poor. You know, the Great Depression, and what was that like? A lot of struggles. But in that struggle,
right,
developed that relationship, right?
Yes. But
because
a little before that. My book starts a little earlier than that. It starts just when I'm in high school, and I did so want to be a teacher. But the fact that I was born in the Depression years, there was poverty rampant. We didn't know anyone who had any money, and it was just hard to make a living. And I knew it was going to be a struggle for me to ever go to college. But a major scholarship was offered to me, and it would have paid for everything. But when I met my husband-to-be, it changed my life completely. I did not want to leave the area. I gave up my scholarship to go back to another student, and that's where my story with my husband started.
Wow. So what does your family say about your book?
About my book. I thought you meant about my my choice. About my book, I wrote the book especially for my family, because we had a great life, a life that would be interesting, I thought, to them. And I wanted them to know where they came from and the goals we had set in life and how we'd come about them. And so that's why I wrote my book. But when I submitted it to be published, I actually didn't submit it to be published. I submitted it because I wanted it in book form to give to my family. Well, my person that I talked to at the publisher said, why don't you let us decide once we read the book? And so that's where it started. I didn't get a contract for publishing it, and here it is now. And I'm glad that I did that, because it seems to have been, from the reviews that I have, it seems to have been quite an inspiration to a lot of young people who didn't know what they were going to do, or didn't have any goals in life. And that's one thing my husband and I both always have taught our kids, to set their goals and then go for them. And that's what this book seems to be the impact that the book has made.
Yeah, so the message to young people is also, too, right, that you have to struggle to get what you want to get, those goals.
Right, you have to work for it, and you need to know that what you're looking for is something that God would want for you to have in your life. But when all these fall together, hard work can go a long way toward reaching your goals. You don't want to set them too high. You've got to be realistic, but yet high enough that you have to work to get there. And that's what we did, and we came from nothing in the 1930s and the 40s and even in the 50s. But steadily we begin to grow. And I credit my husband a lot. He was quite a leader. I called him a dreamer. He would dream about things he wanted to do, but they became a reality. He worked to make them a reality. So we had a very interesting life.
And you and I talked about that interesting life, and I want to remind everyone, Ruth's book is called The Early Years, a Memoir. Rachel G. Carrington is the name that she writes under, so it's very easy to find her on Amazon. There's a beautiful cover on the front, and she talks about, you know, the journeys. What's the coolest place that you and your husband ever went to, traveled to?
That would be hard to say because we traveled a lot, and this book being one of a sequel, I'll be telling about it in my second book that is in the process of being written now. But I was a travel consultant, became a travel coordinator, and went on trips with my groups, so we traveled a lot. We did mostly United States, but we did go to Spain, Portugal, France, overseas. And I imagine the trip to Spain was my most interesting trip, I would say, that was not in the United States. I had many here, Alaska being one of them. I took many groups to Alaska, and But Spain, I started to say, we had side trips, and one of the side trips was to a very interesting country, kind of scary at times, but it was Morocco. But I learned how good the food was in Morocco. I loved the food. But there just was such interesting things. Mexico is another interesting, very adverse country, actually, but a very interesting country.
Yeah. I love that you start off, too, and if you go to Amazon and you look up Rachel G. Carrington, and as we've been talking about, the book is The Early Years of Memoir. First of all, you have tons of people who have rated your book. They love your book. And you say, in the beginning, it says, author Rachel G. Carrington lays no claim to lofty jobs, higher education, nor grand accomplishments, except for a love-filled, multifaceted, family-oriented, poverty-to-plenty life. I love that phrase, poverty-to-plenty, because that's exactly what you're telling us, that it's possible.
That sums it up.
Yeah, that it might take a long time, but you can get there.
You can get there if you have the strong desire and aren't afraid of hard work and push for your goal. You can make it.
Well, I think you're very inspirational, and this book was a pleasure to read, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for asking me, Kate. I enjoyed talking with you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I definitely have a love for thoroughbred racing, as I have family members in racing. A couple of my cousins are trainers, and my uncle was a jockey. So it's really fun to have Roger Salvino on with us. Families bringing thoroughbred horse racing to Illinois. Families and thoroughbred horse racing. And this is a book that's a labor of love, I think, in a way, because Roger's father was a trainer. So, Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, if you give me your family's name, I probably know it.
Service. So it's John Service and Joe Service is my uncle. He was a jockey out of West Virginia, and John Service had a horse called Smarty Jones that almost won the Triple Crown, just missing by a nose at the Belmont.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. I learned so much about thoroughbred horses and horse racing through different family members, for sure. So what made you write this book?
The reason I wrote this book is because my family's in the business, and I thought that there wasn't enough people interested in how the racing game is so important to the public and to my family. Right.
And how tough is the racing game? I think people don't understand what it's like to be in it.
Pardon me?
How tough is the racing game? What's it like to be you know, in the midst of a thoroughbred racing?
Well, I grew up in the business because my father started in working with horses, and he migrated into the thoroughbred industry because our home is in Cicero, and there's a racetrack, two racetracks adjacent to Cicero, Illinois. So my father was working on a farm with his uncle, who's from Italy, and he was working on a farm there, helping him pick weeds and help with the planting of the things that he was growing, the potatoes there, et cetera. And the farm was adjacent to the racetrack property. So my father got interested because he saw all the people coming to the racetrack to see the races. So he went over there, and he was employed to help with the horses, although at that time horses were very popular in the area. People had horses in their on their properties for riding and for transportation. So that's how I got interested in it, through my father.
And what's it been like for you to be in racing?
Well, I started out with my father helping him with his horses because he had horses that he was training for a friend. And then he purchased a horse called Happy Knee, Happy Pilot, and got people interested in investing in Happy Hour Farm. Gave him X amount of dollars to start the business, and he bought Happy Pilot, and which turned out to be a very good horse. And then he migrated to get more horses, and he started Happy Hour Farm, and he ended up having 10 or 15 horses. And one of the outstanding races he won with DeValue was a $50,000 race. It was a really popular race. And through the years there, my father's name was in the sports pages as a horse trainer and a part owner of some horses. So at that time, to have your father's name in the newspaper was a real big thing, because no one else that I knew of while I was going to school had any part of their, anyone of their families in the newspaper. So the big thing was that your name, Salvino's, in the newspaper, and we're talking about my father and how he got in the business and the horses he owned and the jockeys he was using on all his horses, and that was very popular, and that's how I got interested in everything.
Did you have a favorite horse of all time that you've worked with, your father worked with, or you had, you know, you mentioned one, but that you really, really just liked and watched to watch this horse race and grow into it?
Well, Happy Pilot, I would say, was the most popular horse there. He's a real big horse, and he was real easy to handle. That horse was popular with the people that worked for my father, and I just grew interest in the horse also. Those horses, I was friendly with most of the horses there. As I was very young, I was walking the horses, calling them out after their training. But Happy Pilot was probably the most popular.
Yeah. What do you think, when you look at the horse racing industry now, it's been pretty tough. And keeping the interest there and getting people to want to be involved in thoroughbred racing, not families who want to, train horses.
Right. It's difficult for somebody, unless they know or are interested in watching races and wagering on the horses. They might get interested in buying horses. And I've had people that were interested in the business. They were friends of mine, and we started a stable, and we did very well. And as the time went on, we got rid of the horses that we had. We sold them, and they didn't want to go back in the business. In fact, they moved out of Illinois. They moved to California, and that kind of broke up owning horses, because they would prefer to see what was going on, and the horses were running in Illinois and they were in California. So that kind of ended that relationship.
Do you think the crowds were pretty interested in racing in Illinois? Because I think it's a loyal bunch there.
Well, when you really come down to it, what did people have for entertainment? They either went to the show, see movies, or they would go downtown and be on the lakefront, or there wasn't too many things that people were doing. They could go to the racetrack to see races. They could gamble legally on horses. And gambling, I'm sure they had gambling places that were illegal, but you could go to the racetrack and bid on horses. You could have dinner there. You could socialize, and you were treated with greatly at the tracks, because you come in here to be entertained, and that was a big factor at that time.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, Families Bringing Thoroughbred Horse Racing to Illinois, Families and Thoroughbred Horse Racing?
Well, anybody that would read the book would have a basic idea on horse racing, how important it is to the public, and how it serves society with jobs and money and entertainment.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's very entertaining, and it does serve a lot of jobs from all the things that go on behind what you actually see before the horses get to the gate and actually race. And you talk about being a kid and getting to walk the horses, and that's a job, taking care of the horses, grooming them, that's really big.
Oh, definitely. And here's the big factor. The racetracks have rooms for people that work in the industry. They have their families there, and that's a great help for the industry. They give jobs, and they're living right on the grounds. It's an industry with homes.
I like that, an industry with homes. Was it fun for you to write this book?
Was it difficult for me to write this book?
No, was it fun?
You know, because I have so much background with the industry, and
yeah, so
my family was in there, so I could write about my family a little bit, too, and myself.
Yeah, there you go. You wrote about your family, you wrote about yourself, so it wasn't difficult to write it. I say it's like a love letter to your family, for sure, and I love thoroughbred racing, so I think it's terrific that you wrote about it. Roger Salvino, thank you so much for coming on. You can pick up the book on Amazon. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the interview.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.